Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the September 19 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, Bill Mayer from Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, and special guest Joe Vaklevic of Standard Grain from Chicago, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, let's begin our discussion, as we have been as of recent, by getting a set of lists from each of our guests and panelists to talk about for the day. Kurt Kimmel, I think we'll start for you. What's on your list this week?
Well, there's quite a few things that's going to twist and turn the market, but the main thing is do acres really count this time as far as planted or harvested? How big is the crop in through here? A little bit longer term, is China's stimulus program going to put them back in the buying market, especially for our corn?
And Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Well, I think the biggest thing we have to look at right now is when will the bean pipeline get full, and when are we going to see these premiums go away? I mean, I know they're evaporating already, but is the rail availability going to be there for those poor guys in North Dakota and South Dakota and around? And the big question is, how low is low?
And Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing.
Well, I think a couple of things that I had on my list here, Todd, was I think the store versus sell decision this fall, I think that's really on a lot of guys' minds here as they come in and realize they have, especially on the corn side of things, a lot to sell. And I think the 2015 crop profitability, and is there anything that can be done looking out to that point? Those two things are probably the things I've been hearing the most here this week from the client base.
Joe Vaklevic, did we leave anything for you?
Biggest thing that was just mentioned are these 2015 operating margins. I know University of Illinois is projecting that the average corn soybean grower here in the state are going to be looking at very big losses for corn, $180 per acre, I believe, is the most recent number I saw, and about a $79 an acre loss for soybeans. I think it's very important how we're going to navigate that in terms of the markets. Also like to discuss, kind of along with that, the potential impact on the 2015 acreage rotation.
Okay, so I want to come back to you, Bill, and let's start with this year's crop in the store versus sell, because this is something producers have not had to think about so very much in the last 4 to 5 years, but this year it will be critical to their decisions, I believe.
Yes, I think that's true, and unfortunately, I'm not sure, maybe it's like some of the elections we have in Illinois, I'm not sure there's a good choice here right now at this point, but I think the thing that the producer has to look at is you have to look at your own individual situation. There is quite a variance I found as far as storage cost and that from elevator to elevator, and, you know, look at that and look at your, you know, past basis history, maybe not just the last 2 years, but go back a little bit further, see what kind of basis improvement you might be able to expect, and then look at, is there a way to cover the downside price risk and still maybe take advantage of that basis improvement through storage?
Well, Todd, I think as we look at that idea, the one thing that I want to look at is saying that in most cases, commercial storage is going to be too expensive. That's going to be the grain that we should move, turn into cash, and when we think it's the bottom, if we really feel like there's going to be a rally, then we look at some out-of-the-money calls. But I think your on-farm storage, because of two reasons, especially in the corn, I think it's going to be wet longer, and your drying costs and being able to condition it at home and hold it, and also the availability of going anywhere you want, whether it's an ethanol plant, whether it's to the river or whatever, is going to be very important if you're going to store this corn.
Scott Irwin and Daryl Good have written about this particular subject. It's on the Farm Doc Daily website. I read through that article today, and while I can't give you all the details, I can give you the gist of it. For corn, long-term and short-term storage should pay, according to them. And for soybeans, only short-term storage. And here's an interesting little tidbit. Selling soybeans over the scale, if you're thinking on holding beans into 2015, selling them over the scale and buying back futures would be an option that just might work. It was really an unusual option for an ag economist from the U of I, from any of the universities to come up with. So if you want to go online and read all of that, you may have a little bit of time. I think you probably should take the time. There's some really good discussion about basis levels and all sorts of things in that online version at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Okay, let's talk about the soybean pipeline since we mentioned those and maybe a speculation position or a futures position if you happen to buy them back. When do we fill it up? Because the pipeline is not full certainly at the moment, but it looks like that marketplace is going to close really fast, Wayne.
You know, we saw basis levels dropping by $1.75 here today. Yesterday we were $4 over at Frankfort, Indiana. I know that even the ones that had contracts for those, if they weren't in by tomorrow, they were going to go to $2 over on Monday, and they were going to drop 50 cents to $1 a day is what they were telling people. We know that the local small elevators were down to just $2 over for next week that way. But the pipeline's nowhere near full. I think it's going to be the weather if we can keep running, but I think we will still see some sort of premium over an all fall bid for at least another 5 days.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time. If our bean harvest really gets going, guys, and corn moving quite a bit of that over the scale, but bean wise, as Wayne said, it's just a matter of time. With projected carry out 475 million bushels, that pipeline is going to be full for some time to come, especially southern hemisphere has favorable weather this winter.
Let's tick off one of the items that Kurt is on your list, the China stimulus, since we're talking about soybeans. What does it mean?
Well, there's fear that they're taking a step back in here. They worry about crushing margins, but yet they come in and buy over a million metric tons of beans. So I think there's some stimulus there to go ahead and continue to buy our beans and process them. The key is corn. Right now, they're anti-U.S. corn, and they're going to stay that way and probably till late this winter, early spring, because when you look at Chinese corn futures at all-time highs, 273% above U.S. values, I think it's a matter of time before we see them back in the U.S. corn market, no matter what.
Joe Vaklovic, your thought process for producers as they go into the field, and you can pick this from one side of the Corn Belt to the other. I'm sure that there is some regional differences, whether they should be making cash sales across the scale, and if they do, and pick your commodity, corn or soybeans, do they need to replace that or not?
Well, in either situation, I think the crop insurance situation is hugely important. You know, here in Illinois, you're going to have a lot of farmers that are going to have yields that are so big and so far above their APH levels that they still may not be looking at an insurance check even at these low prices. But if you are, that's an incentive to maybe make a couple of moves. Now, am I really bearish all these markets from right here after this big break, especially when considering that in a lot of years we will put in a harvest low during early October? I don't know if I'm that negative, but yeah, I think that re-ownership is a real good strategy. These options are dirt cheap. I mean, I'm looking at some of these May corn options right now. $3.50 calls are trading just north of 22 cents a bushel today, and that's already 3 cents in the money. I think that if you want to take the worry off the table while keeping some of the upside open, I'm not always a huge advocate of owning options, but in this particular instance, there's some values out there.
I think that's very true, and I think it's going to depend, like you said, where you're at, how close to ethanol plants you are and everything that way. I still like the idea if you have on-farm storage for the corn, keeping your options open as to where you can go with it is going to be your best bet for what you're marketing down the road.
Let's look forward to the 2015 crop just a bit. I know that's on both Bill Mayer and Joe Vaklovic's list. Bill, profitability not that great for next year. How do you help protect it at this point?
No, we've been running some analysis on it, and we've been looking at some. There are some insurance products out there that have some possibilities that we've been considering. But I think that the traditional method of going out and getting some crop sold ahead. I think you find, you know, whether you want to sell futures or whether you want to sell cash depends, again, on your location and how much of a new crop basis elevators are taking. But some combination of that, making some forward sales, even at these levels, probably a guy needs to look at that. And then maybe coming in and looking at doing some kind of a buy-put, sell-call type strategy that you can get some kind of a range of prices locked in on a portion of your crop. And with the short-dated options, we can do that to at least lock in our crop insurance price for February with an option that expires, you know, at the end of February.
And Joe?
Well, I feel like selling futures here for next year might be kind of an exercise in futility. I mean, what's the point of going to grow the stuff if you're locking yourself into a loss? And I think that's where a lot of producers throughout the country here are. I think the put options are really the only viable strategy. It's the only way that you can really set your downside and at least have a floor while leaving yourself open to some profitability here. You know, we're all in business to make money, and I think it's way too early to count yourself out for 2015.
I think that the mentality out in the country is less corn acres next year, more bean acres, so therefore the supply-demand balance sheet could tighten up a little bit for corn, but the bean remains burdensome. So what we're looking at is doing corn and bean hedges all together in November 2015 at this point in time and not wait around until February to see what our insurance options are. So we feel there's more downside risk in the beans. You get more bang for your dollar there. We're at negative operating margins, we need to take a little out of the middle. We feel that's the best play to add to your bottom line.
Hey, just to chime in here real quick, guys, Informa had some 2015 acreage estimates out about an hour ago. They had corn acreage at 87.3, which would be down a little more than 4 million, and bean acreage up to 87.7. That's only in total about 1.5 million acre decline in total from last year, which I find surprising considering that when this stuff went in the ground last year, everybody was making money, and not so much for 2015.
Yeah, so maybe we ought to discuss acreage for this year and next because the FSA numbers were out earlier in the week, Joe. Although the trade wasn't quite sure what to make of them for some reason, and I haven't figured that out. They haven't been released for very long, but the trade just sort of looked at them and said, well, I don't know. What do you think?
I think the very, very good early yields that are coming in is the bigger story. But I do believe that there is potential to see an acreage decline on this October report. You know, we've got a big discrepancy, a bigger than normal discrepancy between current FSA data and USDA data, which suggests to some people that we may see this corn acreage number in particular drop by a little bit in October.
Yeah, Joe, you're definitely right. There's ideas, maybe 2 million less corn acres, 1 million less bean acres, but there's ideas. This corn yield could go up to 178 bushels, beans up to 48, 49 bushels an acre, and that trumps the acreage. Acreage doesn't matter anymore.
Totally agree.
Bill, how about you?
Yeah, I would agree with that. If you take 1 million acres of beans, even at 47, 48 million, I mean, that reduces your carryout maybe down to just over 400 million. It's, you know, kind of irrelevant at this point.
How bearish can you all get in futures for lead option futures prices then? And maybe we should just pull everybody across the board. I almost hesitate to ask this, but let's do both corn and soybeans. Joe, we're going to let you do the honors to begin with.
I believe there's limited downside in the corn market simply because of acreage. I think this Informa number is way too high. You're talking guys in Illinois and Iowa are going to lose anywhere from $150 to $200 an acre next year, and we're only going to drop by $4 million. I find that almost impossible to believe. So I think that purely because of that, not because of anything that has to do with yield, I think the big production thing is becoming an old story here. Not so negative the corn market. I believe the bean market, the dollar overpriced at minimum. All the ratios tell you everything about world production, everything about U.S. production. Corn versus soybean ratios tell you that this thing is overpriced, and I think that we may need to sway farmers to maybe discourage some bean acreage next year, if anything, and maybe get some more back on the corn side.
So just so I get it right, you're a dollar down on soybeans. That would be old and new crop both. And corn, you're satisfied with where we are at this point?
I'd say that's about as strongly opinionated as I can get.
How about you, Bill?
Yeah, I guess I would kind of agree with Joe as far as the corn goes, although I think that if you see any kind of rallies as we come out of harvest and that you have to be ready to act, and if if you can, as I said before, I think if you can start with some sales, not necessarily locking in a big percentage of your crop, but, you know, having something on the books, that doesn't hurt anything here, because we still don't know where the yields are going to come in yet on this thing, and I'm not sure that, you know, we don't see some increase in corn yields. On the soybean side of it, I don't know. I guess I've been bearish on beans, and when I look at the numbers that we've got, I think the price has just got to do, as Joe said, maybe discourage acres, but also it's got to get down low enough to encourage some kind of bigger increases in demand, because we've just got a lot of beans worldwide to work through, and I don't know. I look at historical price levels when we've had these kind of carryouts, and I'm not sure that a dollar covers it, to be honest with you.
Well, I think that we're all thinking we're looking at a great big crop. We have to continue with the yields that we're hearing out of the South and starting to hear here across the Midwest, because that's what's going to really count. If they do stay there and we get up to that 179, 180 type yield and maybe the 49 bushels on the beans, you realize that's going to be a 17 bushel increase over trend yield on the corn. And with that, we could go down to 285, but I don't think we're going to stay below $3 real long. You know, 850 is the price target on the beans for them to go down to, but I'm also in the same respect, I don't know that they're going to stay under $9 real long. So those are the lows that I think we can go to if the yields hold up.
Corn-wise, on current crop year, we were targeting 330, 325 is first area. You know, if we take that out, maybe 310, but I think the commercial is going to be buyers down here because they can buy it in hedges in July and make a huge amount of money on that. Bean-wise, $9 for 9 gives, $8.50, you know, another buck down, no problem there. The thing is we got to keep in mind is this is a multi-year situation we're in. We're not going to go down and touch those levels and zoom back up to highs right away. It's going to take a long time of grinding and making sure we stimulate demand at these lower levels.
Okay, we'll take a break right at this point. Speaking of multi-year, and I've got some information about some of the things that you'll be making decisions, if you're landowners at least, about the next farm program for you. I want to take a moment to reintroduce our guests, including Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and Joe Vaklevic out of Standard Grain. Now, many of you as landowners will have received a letter from the FSA, and it had a 60-day time frame, which ends when? Very shortly, September the 30th, if I remember correctly. Here's the deal on that letter, because you're just about to go to the field. If you're not already there, you should take a look at the numbers in the letter. Those numbers are data that's already historic. If the numbers look correct, your acres look correct, your yields look correct, everything looks correct in it, you don't need to do anything with these numbers. They are cleaning up data that already exists at the United States Department of Agriculture that belong to the Farm Service Agency. If they look incorrect, then you most definitely need to get hold of the FSA as soon as possible, because these will be the numbers eventually that you're going to update for the new farm programs. But the first part of this new farm program set is to clean up that data. Landowners will have it. Power of attorney should work, but I can't guarantee that at this point. It should work, and I don't think you'll have to have that for the numbers exactly, at least to clean them up. So again, take a look at your numbers on that letter from the Farm Service Agency. If they're correct, you're good. If they're incorrect, you need to work that out now, because by September 30th, those numbers are going to be filtered into the new farm programs. And you're going to want to update them. Why? Because these numbers have a tendency to stick around for decades. Some of them are already as old as 1965. This is the September 19 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists again, Wayne Nelson, Kurt Kimmel, Bill Mayer, and Strategic Farm Marketing's Joe Vaklevic. Joe, we have not talked about wheat, though, but it was kind of an ugly week for wheat. This is a commodity that tends to lead, especially the coarse grains. Can we find a low sometime in the next few weeks for wheat?
Well, the problem here is demand. You know, we saw USDA lower their demand projections last month, and export sales are actually still running below those lower projections.
So that's just bad news. We're overpriced on the world market. I do believe that at some point we may run into some quality issue here in the U.S. I know that the spring wheat crop in particular has some quality issues, part of the winter wheat crop in the north, the same deal. But there's really not much good out there. I will say that seasonally we should be looking at some kind of a bounce, but that's not much to go on here when you consider that corn's getting cheaper, beans are getting cheaper, and the speculative community as a whole seems real comfortable being short.
Yeah, also, too, they get the short side of the spreads. It seems like every day, just sell, sell, sell. But, too, Wayne or Bill might be able to answer a little bit better. I know the insurance month is closed on wheat in some areas there, and they've got a higher revenue price versus where we are today, so that might encourage some wheat seedings.
Either of you, Bill or Wayne, do you have any comment on that one?
I don't know, Wayne. I don't have the number right in front of me, what the average was. I think it was, I want to say 592, but I don't know if that's correct or not.
That's very close. I think that the one thing that a lot of people or some of the advisory firms were talking about was plant wheat, double crop beans, and that's a way you can maybe make it through next year's negative cash flow.
Okay, and while we're on this subject, there is one note. There will be a supplemental coverage option under the new farm program, which you have not yet signed up for, but wheat is available at this point. That's called the SCO. Interestingly enough, the SCO will only be available with the PLC, or the price loss coverage part of the farm program. You can go ahead and purchase SCO and then make a decision not to carry PLC later, and so you can back out of that purchase.
And I think one place that kind of looks attractive is because it takes you up to 86% coverage.
Right.
In a lot of areas in Illinois, a lot of counties in Illinois, you can only take a maximum of 75% coverage on wheat, so it may have more attraction in these areas, you know, where you are limited on what you can take on your RP coverage.
Yeah, the other important part of that is that this won't be available in all counties in Illinois. There are only a handful of counties in Illinois where it's available to them.
That's true.
Todd, the answer to that question is, if it's available, you should take that. It's not available very many places.
Yeah, so if you have the opportunity, take your SCO, and then if you want to back out of it later because of the way you're putting farms up by the FSA number into the farm programs, you can. Okay, final word from each of you at this point about the marketplace. Kurt Kimmel, we'll start with you.
Well, I don't know which was longer on Friday, the line to buy a new Apple iPhone or the line at the elevator, so be safe out there.
Wayne Nelson?
You know, we're coming into harvest here. It looks like we're going to have a very good harvest and poor prices, but it's always darkest before the dawn.
And Bill Mayer?
I would echo Kurt's comments on being safe out there. Take your time. It's going to be, a long traditional type fall where you're going to see lows probably come sometime through the October period. Do prepare and look out for the post-harvest period in case you get some kind of a rally coming out of harvest.
And a very short word from Joe Vaklevic.
Just keep in mind that this is kind of a normal type year in terms of production. We've got good production. We're putting in lows here, or new lows, as we move into harvest. And just remember that historically we will bounce sometime in October, November, put that low in.
Again, of course, our thanks to Joe Vaklevic, is our special guest. He is from Standard Grain out of Chicago, Illinois. Along with us today, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and, of course, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing. I'm Yovai Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.